Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I know the audience looks a little scarce today, but we still must teach the Word of God. We must learn the Word of God. We must practice the Word of God. So the responsibility for each and every one of us falls upon us. So with that said, I want to say good morning to everyone. To those of you I didn't get a chance to speak to you, we hope to speak to you at the back door a little bit later when we have finished this message. I don't plan on being very long today, for something is planned, and I just want to be long enough to get the Word of God out to you. When we consider the season of the year that we're in, we're all looking forward to, as Brother Thompson mentioned, the new year is almost up on us. And I thank God that He has allowed us to be this far in this old year and almost approaching the coming of the new year. God didn't have to leave us here, but He has left us here nevertheless. So we want to talk about what to do in the new year. And in the story found in John 3, verses, it covers almost about the first 7 or 8 verses of this chapter. We shall go a little further, but we'll go with those for now. Let us go to God in prayer. O righteous God in heaven, You have blessed us, O Lord. You have given to us, O Lord. Father, You are the gift that keeps on giving, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful that You've seen fit to bless us to wake up this morning. Not only did You wake us up, You allowed us to get up, and we're so thankful, O Lord. Father, many of us that lay down last night didn't get up this morning, but You have left us here, and for this we are eternally grateful. Father, we pray for each and every member in this congregation. We pray for the visitors in this congregation. We pray for all of those who love the Lord, and we pray for those who have never met the Lord, especially, O Lord. Father, we thank You this morning for blessing us as You have blessed us. Father, we thank You for the church itself here at on Stony Island. We thank You for its leadership. We thank You for its membership. And we thank You, Father, that we might be blessed enough to keep on receiving Your blessings. Thank You, Lord. We pray for the sick and the shut-in, those who are grieving, those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We're just so thankful, O Lord. Father, we come this morning with our heads bowed in humbleness, thanking You for so many things that we cannot count them. We can only say thank You, Father, for this is what we are supposed to do. Thank You for our blessings. We're supposed to thank You for everything You do for us. Father, we pray for the sick and the shut-in. Once again, we're just asking that if it be Your will, give them a return of their health, that they may enjoy the fruits of their labor and that they may be well accepted by You, O Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You for everything. Thank You especially for Your Son, Jesus, who went to Calvary's cross, who hung, bled, and died on the cross that we might have a right to the tree of life. Thank You, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we move on into this portion of the service, we pray for the men who have taken part in the services thus far. We pray for each and every one of them that shall come from this point on. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You for everything. It is in the name of Jesus we pray and ask it all. Let the church say, amen. In this story found in John 3, 1 through 7, we find some truths that are worthy for us to take notice of. It shows us some things we need to understand about the Christian life. We see a man named Nicodemus who appears to have been a great man in his time, for the Bible tells us he was a ruler of the Jews. But no matter how important one's station in life may be, we are nothing without Christ in our lives. So today, this question, whether one be a Christian or a non-believer, the question is, what are we or where are we going without Christ Jesus? We may be a nobody to the world, but with Christ, we are a somebody. So what are we without Christ? We are without our Savior. If we don't have Christ in our lives, we see a man in this first seven verses of John chapter 3. We see a man by the name of Nicodemus. The Bible tells us although he was a ruler, he was without proper leadership in his spiritual life. Look at verse number 2, if you will, of John chapter 3 and verse number 1 through 7. Look at verse number 2. This man came to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. In this upcoming year, we need to allow ourselves to be led by Christ. Through Christ, we can find strength for our journey. In John chapter 6, verses number 37, tells us in the words of Jesus, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Just like Lazarus before we met Jesus, just like Nicodemus before we met Jesus and put him on and we are all spiritually dead. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, You have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. The word quicken means to be made alive. So Nicodemus was schooled at Jesus University by the master teacher himself. Jesus, if you'll notice the credentials that he had, Nicodemus gave him his proper props for that, if you will. He was a teacher come from God. His experience are top notch, for no man can do the miracles except God be with him. Once we find Jesus, we can be assured he has found truth. Once one finds Jesus, he can be assured that he has found truth. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those, though my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To know and to follow Jesus is truth. Now, I know what some folk are saying around now, around this time of the year. They're all joyful and they're full of joy and pleasure. But you know something? You still need Jesus. Some folk claim they know Jesus. Some have even heard about Jesus on Easter or Christmas, or maybe at a funeral. But I'm here to tell you to know Jesus, you must continue in him all year long. Nicodemus learned some things that he did not know before by coming to Jesus. In verse number 3, he learned the way to Jesus. In verse number 4 and 5, he learned about the new birth. In verse number 7, he learned the importance of the new birth. In verses 6 through 8, he learned about how the new birth is produced. We must put on Christ through baptism if you want to be like so many others who are looking for direction for the new year. I say try Jesus. Amen. Try Jesus in this new year. We should get involved in this new year. There's no better time to come to Jesus than right now. If he has allowed us to live through 2017 and make it to the brink of 2018, that means he has allowed us to note the passing of an entire year that some of us possibly wasted. Some of us possibly are busy making resolutions to eat less, lose weight, and even become a better Christian in the future than we were in the past. But I say to you, the time is now. Many are still stuck back in yet last year. Some of you don't come around until the beginning of the new year. You're stuck from 2016, and now 2017 is on its way out, and some of us are still stuck there. We should be not as naive as Nicodemus was. We should be at least that we should learn to know Christ and learn to know that with Christ all things are possible. If you were like I was at some point in my life, I was willing to go everywhere on a Sunday except to church. I was willing to hear anything other than the Word of God. I was even willing to believe that man and not God was in charge of my life. That is until I became reintroduced to Christ, until I heard stories from the Bible, like stories like in Luke 8 and verse number 37 and 38, where following Jesus healed a man possessed, and that same man went and told others how great Jesus was when he was healed. Or how in John chapter 4, Jesus offered a Samaritan woman water that is springing up into everlasting life. Water that she should not thirst again. God is good, church. And also, he explained to her in verse number 24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's us, church. We must worship God in spirit because we sure can't see him. Not yet, but one day we will. So what better resolution than to make for the upcoming year than that of seeking Christ and him crucified? Now I want you to go with me with the text once again. We're going to start at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a man who came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But listen to this, church. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Church, you have to be born again, and I suggest you start off in this new year learning how to be born again if you're not already. And if you are, you need to bone up on your review, up on your learning and your knowledge and your wisdom, that you may move forward with Christ in this new year. Now that the gifting season is over, ask yourself this question. Where do we go from here? Well, number one, we can now wait for the bills to come in, that for the things that must be paid for. We can wait and we can reflect on, Lord, have mercy. Look how much I spent. Or you can say to yourself, Lord, give me the strength to go on out and get this money so that I can pay these bills. You can pray and ask God to be strength to you. You can pray and ask God to help you make it through another year, if you will. We now have the opportunity to reflect on the passing year, the ups, the downs of our past year. We can reflect on what went wrong and what could have been better. The old year is almost behind us now. We can't change the old year, but we can plan to do better in the upcoming year. If God allows us to be in it, we can ask that he make it a better year than this last one was. No one was ever able to change yesterday, and we all ask God for strength for the future, not strength to continue our past lives, but to become better and stronger for our tomorrow. In John 3 and 16, God sent Jesus into the world to save us. Now we want to talk about the gift. God sent Jesus into the world to save us. To save us from what, preacher? From ourselves. We had a debt come due that we could not afford to pay. But Jesus could, and he did, pay it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God provided his best to save us from our worst. When you consider that during this time of the old year, we all sit around thinking about all of our gifts, even the ones you don't like. We need to take some time to thank God for what he has done for us already. Pray to him for future blessings. Let us examine for a moment what God has done for us. Number one, he provided for us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, Jesus paid the high price of his life for us. Number three, we became the recipients of being saved through his death on Calvary. The next time we open a gift, take the time to say, "Thank you, Lord, for in you I have my blessed gift, the gift that keeps on giving to us, the gift that gave us yesterday, and the gift that's allowing me and allowing us in this moment in time today. The gift that I can ask for a blessed tomorrow." Yes, we look forward to the next year knowing that we have a gift like none other. A gift that we don't have to exchange because we may not like the color or the size is wrong. Is it a gift that goes out of fashion before we first wear it? We need to be like Nicodemus. That is to go and find Jesus, learn about him, live by his statutes, teach your families about him, tell others about him. Just as the Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness. I like Nicodemus for he knew to come to God, but he needed to be schooled on how to come to him. So Jesus did just that, telling him what he needed to do to get right. Getting right with God does not require that we exchange a gift with him, for he has already given us the gift. He is the gift. He gave us life and a chance for life at everlasting. His gift is not wrapped up nor tied up with some pretty bows like we give gifts. Instead, it is presented to us all the same gift for you and for me. The size is the same. The color is the same. The material is the same. Will you accept his present, his gift, before it's too everlastingly too late? The time to walk with God is while you can. We can't walk with him without knowing him. So today, may this upcoming year bring us all a few steps closer to him than we were on last year. When you think about the gifting season of the year, how many of you spent your time out shopping in the mall for this gift, that gift, or that or this gift or this present? When you think about it, we could have spent a lot less time with God and been more happier. If you want power to your dollar, let God work the power that he has. The Bible teaches us, I believe it's in Malachi, where it talks about, will a man rob God? The answer is yes, a man will rob God. And you ask yourself, well, how can I rob God? I can't even see God. Well, you can rob him by not giving like you're supposed to. You can rob him by not taking care of what he has given you like you're supposed to. You're supposed to be a good steward, and being a steward is what God gives you. What God gives you, you're supposed to take care of it. But he says, yes, a man will rob God. But then he says, on the other hand, if you give right, God will open up a window of heaven and pour out more blessings than you're able to receive. So you want to consider as we go into this new year some things about what I should do in this new year. You should all get closer to God, all of us, not just you, but me as well. We need to draw near to God. We should come to God the right and the proper way. And I think about it. As cold as it is outside today, I didn't actually look for as many as we have today, but I'm so thankful that you saw fit to come on out and to serve God. Don't let the cold stop you. Because Monday morning, guess what you're going to do with those of you that have jobs? You're going to struggle out there and go right on, aren't you? So why not start it with Sunday? Sunday is the beginning of the week. Come on out to meet God in His house. Come on out to spend time with God. And I'll tell you something, like I've told you before, we don't stay in here too long. I try to be as short as I possibly can. And Brother Jackson teaches his Bible class lesson. He's very timely on getting through that lesson in the morning, on Sunday morning. So we don't stay too long. But thank God that He has allowed us. If He gave you a car, get in it, start it up, and come on to church. Find God in 2018. Be closer to God in 2018. Learn the ways of God in 2018. Get right with God in 2018. And once you learn to share your life with God, you'll be surprised how much God will give back to us. So I ask the question this morning, what are you doing for the new year? Are you learning to serve God, or are you going to be just like you were in 2017 and stay in your same old self, stay in your same tracks? Well, me personally, I'm going to try to get a little closer to God. I'm going to try to be closer than I've ever been before because I know my time is winding down. I know my time is not long anymore. I know that I have the best of everything when I have God in my life. I know that God will give me the best of everything. And if you'll notice something this morning, I didn't put on my glasses. God gave me a better vision, a better sight in this one eye. And I can practice and tell you that God is good. All the time. And all the time, God is good. Let us be ever grateful and ever thankful that we have God on our side. The Lord has blessed us. When He gently touched that sleepy eyelid this morning, He opened it up. And you look around and you saw your room that you were sleeping in. And you said to yourself, thank God. Or you should have said to yourself, thank God that He woke me up this morning. You should have said to yourself, Lord, I'm so grateful that You brought me through the night. Because You didn't have to, Lord. And then when I listened to the radio, I turned my radio on early in the morning. And I listened to the all news station. And all the news I hear is bad. And I think about it and I say, Lord, You could have made me a statistic, but You kept me here alive and well. Thank You, Lord, this morning for all You do for me. And I'm going to give 18 back to You, Lord, because I'm going to become better, stronger, and more learned about You, Lord, in 2018 than I was in 2017. And Lord, if You let me make it through 2018, I'm going to be better in You, O Lord. I'm going to be like Nicodemus. I'm going to come to You and I'm going to find You. Although you're not lost, I have to find You for myself. Nicodemus found Jesus. He found Him by night. And no matter how important his life was without Jesus, Jesus was about to teach him how to be more important with his life. So what I'm saying to you this morning, church, is this. You need to find Jesus in 2018. If you've already found Him, you need to renew a relationship with Him in 2018. Don't let another year go by you where you don't know Jesus and don't learn about Jesus any more than you already have. Now, Nicodemus was, Jesus explained to Nicodemus how he could come to him. We already know, but I'm going to give you the steps anyway. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And then you must obey Jesus' will. You must walk with him, commune with him. And do you remember in Revelation where the Bible says, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. When Jesus is in your life, everything seems to get better. Everything. If you got a non-obeying spouse, if you got hard-headed children, if you got your job where it seems as though every time you turn around, the boss is on your back. Well, most of us think on our jobs we should be the boss anyway. But if you think that your boss is on your back all the time, you need to find Jesus. And you need to stick with him. Now, there are some of us who have issues and problems in life. Most of us do. So what do I do with my issues and my problems? Well, I'll tell you something. Take them to Jesus. Take them to Jesus and he'll make them all right. Because there is nothing, nothing, zero, nothing that's impossible for Jesus. He put us here. He made us. And he watches over us. So why can't he take care of us? All things with Jesus are possible. And I know that this new upcoming year may mean some new things for some of us. First of all, we got to get past that hump of paying those bills for New Year, for Christmas. Then we got to consider, we start considering, what am I going to do in this new year? Well, I've already told you, find Jesus. Be like Nicodemus, find him. Once you find him, you hold on to him. You never let him go. You just hold on as tight as you can. Learn to love one another a little bit more. How do I do that, preacher? I already love everybody, but how do I love them a little bit more? Well, where you're short in loving them at, you gain strength in that position. And what do you mean, love them a little bit more? By letting them know about Jesus. By telling them how committed you have become in Jesus. By asking them this or that in Jesus. So what can I do, preacher? Well, I've already told you, come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But the one thing I want you to remember, the one thing that's very important that you should all remember, is that Jesus is our Savior. He is our Savior. He will save us because he already has. His track record proves it. He already has saved us from ourselves. So he can do it again. He can do anything that he chooses to do. Because God is good. And all the time God is good. Now if you had a good year in 17, pray to God and ask him that 18 is even better for you. And if 18 is better for you, then you look into 19 and ask him for 19 that it might be even better for you. And you might say, well, preacher, you're jumping so far ahead. I haven't got to 18 yet. But you're not counting on not being here for 19, are you? Aren't you counting on being here for 19 as well? All right, then, say it like you mean it. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me to get through 17 and push me into 18 and then take me on into 19. I've got the confidence that God is going to allow us to be. I know my time is not long, but I'm counting on 19 coming up for me as well. See, because I know the man who controls the time, the years, the months, the days, the hours, and the minutes. I know him. And I know he is able. Do you know him this morning, church? Can you say, Lord, bless me to see 19. Bless me to get into 18 and then to see 19. That's all you have to do. And whatever you did in 2017, try to do it a step better in 2018. Just try. Ask God to give you the strength to make it. To make it through. Lord, I know that I'm not nothing without you. And just tell him, Lord, I want to be something with you rather than nothing without you. So ask yourself the question, what can I do in 18? What can I do in the new year? As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.